Now, Mark is going to tell us in great detail how John the Baptist was murdered. The others, he tells us now in this interlude between the sending out of the disciples and their coming back. He starts to tell us about this. And then, as soon as this is over, in verse 29, but in verse 30, which is for next time, the apostles got together and reported all they had done and taught. And that will be the beginning of an introduction then. They come aside, the crowd follows, and he feeds them. That's the next step in the gospel. But here we have this sordid tale. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. Big party. This is to keep everybody happy. I was at Herod's party. I rank. I'm a big shot. Keep everybody happy. It's easier than fighting with them. And it's money I'm gathering from other sources, so it's not costing me anything. And Herod has this party. It's amazing. And so, Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. We can only imagine what kind of a dance that was. It was a delight, all these people at the party. It was a very sensual, provocative dance that she had learned, I don't know where, maybe from her mother. And she's out there performing that. Now, whether Herodias knows what's going to happen next or not, I don't know, but maybe, probably not. But it's this decadent way of life. My friends, there are dimensions of our own country right here that live like this. And they weaken us, and they require some kind of punishment from God, unless we can win them over for the Lord Christ. And we've got to try. Anyway, he delighted Herod and his guests. As I say, you can imagine what kind of delight that was. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore to her, "I will grant you whatever you ask, even to half my kingdom." The guy's drunk. He's sexually aroused. He wants to make a big impression. And so he's doing, "I'll give you half my kingdom. You know, you did a beautiful job there, girl, in your dance," and all the people sitting around and listening to this. Now that's a totally impulsive, out of control man. And he'll carry it out. He'll go on now in that same way. "Ask me whatever you wish and I will grant it to you. I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom." So she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" Now Herodias doesn't care about half the kingdom. She's already got that. She's married to the king. She said, "I want the head of John the Baptist. That's what I want." He's made this oath and he's, drunk. So let's get a chance to kill this guy. So the girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you," now she elaborates, "to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist." She knows, she's got him. You know, he's drunk, he's aroused, he's just made this big, stupid promise in front of all his guests, and she's going to cash in on it in exactly the way her mother told her to, okay? So, she made her request. "I want you to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist." Now, the king was deeply distressed, but because of his oath, and the guests, our text has oaths, I swear. And the guest, he did not want to break his word to her. He's made himself out to be the big shot. She's challenged him. If she had said, I want, you know, $80 million, it's yours. No problem. But because she said, I want the head of John the Baptist, whoa. You know, the king is frightened. He knows he shouldn't fiddle with this. But he's got all these people around. He's all upset and, you know, excited himself, and he's drunk. Now, this is the end of a great martyr. Isn't it disgraceful? If you go into an Eastern Rite church, there's the icon screen, and there are two icons right there in the front. Who are they? The Mother of God and John the Baptist. They are the gift of Judaism through whom comes the Messiah. Mary gave birth to him, and John had proclaimed him. No, that's who he is. And now he's a common prisoner in jail, going to be killed as a result of a sexually exciting drunken man. And so he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. See, she didn't want, I promise you I'll take care of them. No, I want the head right now. So he beheaded him in prison. He brought him the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. Now she's got what she wants. Think of the depth of that hatred. How long does it take before a civilization, or part of a civilization, or a culture, can be so depraved that you could have this whole thing going on? And this among God's people. You know, the degradation, the human mess, the degradation, the lack of humanity. No truth, no respect, no honesty, just wealth, liquor, and lust. And so, his disciples heard about this. They came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. So he is a martyr. He's a martyr to the truth of sexual propriety. For the good of the country, the Baptist stood up to the king and said, it's wrong for you to have that woman to a wife. It's against the law of God. The people have to hear that. And that's why we have, you know, John the Baptist voices in our own day. Look at some of the things Pope Benedict said. You know, we cannot live this way. Now, when people do that, they do risk their lives, because others cannot bear to hear it, because it's too true. And so we have this very sordid tale. Now, the interesting thing is that Mark, whose gospel is the shortest of all, and whose stories are often very laconic, develops this in a way much more amply than Matthew or Luke, which is very interesting that would happen. What is Mark's intention? It's pastoral. Look at the play of passions. Look at the play of emotions that are not under the rule of God, starting with Herodias and her hatred for John the Baptist. Why? Because he's telling the truth. She has no right to be the wife of this Herod. She's married to his brother. And she hates that being said because it weakens a bit her grip on Herod, who kills a lot of his own children. You know, one day he could just get tired of her and kill her. And she does not want that witness around. No matter what it does to Herod, no matter what it does to her, she wants that eliminated. That's what happens to people, happens to anybody. But it happens mostly to people who are in power, because they can act out, they can put into action the things that they want. And what happens is corruption. And with that corruption, a whole block of the nation goes along with it. Doesn't say a word, doesn't want anything. And then a prophet says, that's wrong. And he knows he's going to pay for that. He knows it. But he owes it to God and to the nation to say something, to speak up. Let this not go unheeded. And so we have this beautiful example of a martyr. Now, what about us? Are we able, at least in our voting, at least in our discourse, at least in our training of the children, to speak the truth? To say that this and this and this is wrong? It's a sin? You know? Look at all the things that are happening in our culture, demanding, nowadays nobody even bothers to get married, but marriage and divorce, same-sex marriage, all sorts of things, which are clearly against the will of God. And what do we do? You know, how do we protect our own first? Let our own know that this is wrong. Those who are entrusted with the teaching of God's people, maybe a prophet who can be ordained or not, or a bishop or a priest, or even a deacon. See, have to strengthen the intuitions of the people. Yes, 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 that's wrong. I cannot get involved in that. And that's very important. Now, but you notice, as I said before, that the motive of the Baptist is love for his country. He does not want God's people to go down a path of corruption that will spell their own eternal disaster and the disaster and corruption of the whole country. It's love, not anger, and not show off, and not trying to, you know, it's love. It's love. It's love for God's people, who then say, we can't do this. This is wrong. And evil always introduces evil. It's just the way it goes. And so you can walk into some environments where the evil is tangible. You know it. Is this the way God wants us to live? All you have to do is then walk into a really committed group of Christians to know the difference. There's humanity there. There's joy, there's affection, there's respect, there's moral uprightness. You see? And that's why the Lord wants every parish to be that way, so that people can find a refuge from the hammer blows against their own conscience, which occur every day, and are broadcast through the media. People get discouraged. They don't know what to do. And that's why those who do know are obliged in their own way to point out that it's wrong. It's wrong. And that's why the bishops are trying hard to hold the line on paying for health care abortions, confronting same-sex marriage, because these things are against God's law, and God's law is only there to bring us in this world and in the next to happiness. That's why it's an act of love. So love inspires courage, and it must when it's called for. Amen.